You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it. Hey everyone, it is I, the J-Strom. You have tuned in to another NIM mini movie. And this exists because of your support. Thank you so much for donating and supporting Nowhere in Mulberry. I've been wanting to do this movie for a long time. And that movie is Jaws. 1975's Jaws, and I have someone special here to do the movie with me. That is Steven the Pop Culture Zealot.
Hey, Jason. How are you doing?
Hey, Steven. What's up?
All ready to do some Jaws.
Now, this is usually we time travel back to the 80s on these NIB Mini movies. This time, we're in the 70s.
Bell bottoms and disco, right?
Yep. Have you noticed my hair? Yeah. Feathered. Got it feathered just for our Jaws mini movie. You like it? Looks pretty good. Pretty
awesome.
Sweet.
Very nice.
Pretty sweet, Jan. But, Steven, this is your first NIB mini movie. I've done the other ones with Bill, but I was like, you know, I need to get Steven in on these, man. I want to talk to Steven about a movie that he's seen.
That I love.
And how many times do you think you've seen it? Uncountable?
Yeah.
I mean,
the way a lot of people with Star Wars, this was my Star Wars before.
Right. You know, those favorites from childhood, this is a movie that anytime it's on TV, you're like, oh, hey, Jaws.
Yeah, I can start at any point I see it.
Any moment, you'll just you start watching it, you know?
Yeah.
And so you count those as viewing, so I'm going to say it's probably in the close to thousands. It's got to be over. It's definitely over 100.
Yeah, easy.
Definitely over 100. And especially this new Blu-ray that came out, this anniversary edition, looks incredible. Because you got to think, we probably saw it, I don't know, once or twice as children in the theater. But the rest of the time we saw it on a tiny TV screen.
VHS, you know, maybe.
Yeah, and VHS. We saw it in its 4x3, you know, box.
Maybe a cable release back in the 80s.
Right. But not until DVD did we finally get to see it in 16x9 and widescreen. And that was a treat. I remember that DVD release. And I was like, whoa. And it's got extras on it. Remember that when extras were so exciting?
Yeah, I think I have like three versions of this now. I have the Blu-ray, obviously, the new one.
Mm-hmm.
The first release or an original DVD release, and then that 30th anniversary edition that came with a little booklet and everything.
Right. So, I mean, over the years, they released it over and over again. And I'm going to say this. 1975, I was 5 years old. You were how old?
1975, I would have been seven.
7 years old. Did you see this in the theater?
I did see it in the theater. Probably not then, maybe the next year.
Well, also, you know, I'm reminded of this was everyone calls it the first summer blockbuster. This movie stayed in theaters for like a year. It like never left theaters. It stayed. It had staying power. It, you know, you could go see it 6 months later, it'd still be in the movie theater.
Saw it in the summer of 76.
I remember seeing the movie as a child. I don't know if I saw it in the first run, but my dad took us to see scary movies. He took us to see movies that you should not take a five-year-old to and didn't think twice about it. And while we're talking about the movie, I will mention parts that traumatized me for childhood and things I remembered later on in life. You know, through my childhood from Jaws that almost like morphed and were worse than they actually were in the movie, like the leg falling down in the water, like that was traumatizing to me as a child. But then when you watch it now, you're like, what was I so scared about? Come on, what a wimp I was. But there's parts that you just have visions of from childhood when you saw it. They were like, you know, you're frozen with terror and you're under your blankets and stuff.
I think I was giddy with glee as a child watching this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't remember being scared. I don't think anything traumatized me in that sense.
Right.
I was mesmerized by sharks.
Yeah. There's something just, you know, to this day, there's something so interesting about sharks, you know, and over the years when you see it, you know, you're a little kid in your preteens and your teens, you kept watching Jaws, you know, every time it was on. And I, you know, there's things I see about Jaws now that I don't hold against it. Like the shark doesn't look that real, but I don't care. I've grown up with it and I'm used to it, and it doesn't bother me that it looks mechanical at times, you know.
It's especially just, having seen all the wildlife shows now with real sharks, the way they...
I remember thinking the part when the we'll talk about that soon, but there's parts in the movie where the shark behaves that you would think, you know, that's not very realistic. But then later on, like in present day, when you watch the shark breaching and stuff, you're like, holy shit, they will jump out of the water. You're like, holy crap. But, you know, also, you know, Jaws spawned a lot of sequels and stuff like that. But Jaws, the first movie, that's the one that is a classic that you always remember. Yeah, the iconic one has all those great lines, all those great moments that we'll talk about.
Well, I told the story at the comic, the podcast convention we went to with Rick, you know, that I was, I'd just probably seen Jaws that summer, and we're, school had started, and I guess we were coming up on our first break, and teacher hands out the paper to draw on, and I draw the Jaws logo, you know, the movie poster, and turn it in, think nothing twice about it. And come into school the following week, and it's obviously Thanksgiving has happened, and all the posters are put up, or all the drawings, turkeys, cornucopias, everything. I mean, this is when you first walk into the school, too.
Right.
There's just posters, you know, everything children have drawn from the little hand turkey to, you know, just everything, and right in the middle is Jaws.
Was it the poster of the shark?
Yes. It is exactly
that iconic image.
And it's like right in the middle at the bottom, so it's right in the middle of all the turkey posters.
Well, I can remember all through childhood, you know, all kids would draw the shark fin in the water. You know, you would always do a shark fin. And there's sharks just fascinated everyone.
See, mine was the full poster of the snout coming up with the teeth. I didn't do the arc, the fin.
Yeah.
I wanted to see, I like the teeth, you know, it's like in the little girl swimming on top.
You know what I remembered when I knew we were going to do this movie? I was thinking about how Jaws kind of affects you and stuff. Of course, you know, when you're in a swimming pool, everyone plays like Jaws or does the music, dun 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 dun. But also remember SNL, the land shark, how hilarious that was. That was something like you always look forward to on the Saturday Night Live in the 70s when they were, oh, they're doing the land shark, they're doing the land shark. Everyone runs in the living room.
Who is it?
Mrs. Romulo.
Who is it?
Plumber.
Plumber? I didn't ask for a plumber. Who is it?
Telegram.
Oh, telegram. Just a moment.
I can remember that as a kid, like, you know, my grandparents, and they're doing the land shark, kids. We'd all run in. You know, there was no DVRs or anything. Everyone had to run in there immediately and see land shark, you know, and everyone would be laughing. It was so funny. And even, you know, you're a little kid, kind of scary at the same time, you know, kind of scary. The land shark's at the door. Don't open the door.
No, man. No, man doesn't come this late. Pizza guy.
Yeah. And of course the shark would come out and everyone would be like, yay! You know, it was always so great. But that was one of the best skits, you know. I can remember that as a kid. It was just like Jaws. Everyone knew Jaws. It was like the biggest movie, of course, until Star Wars came out. But I don't even when I think of my childhood, I think of it mostly of the 80s, but I was alive in the 70s, and sometimes I forget that, you know, that I wasn't a baby in the 70s. I was, like, walking around and, you know, watching TV and stuff.
You weren't quite the preteen in the, in the 70s to remember that much.
I can remember when it turned 1980 and people mentioning that, but I was just like, "What? What? 79? What?" When, you know, I'm a little kid. I'm not paying attention to what year it is, except when you write it in school, you know. Jaws, I guess it represents the 70s in a lot of ways in movies for me.
my formidable movie years when I started getting, I guess you want to call it my movie tastes, you mm-hmm. know, what I, you know, I like Spielberg early on.
Right. And that's the
not
thing.
Not knowing Spielberg himself.
When you say a lot of ways, I mean, so many films from childhood that we remember, we'll watch them later on as an adult and be like, it's kind of lame, you know, not that great. But Jaws holds up. It's a great, it's a good movie, you know. It's not just like this shark killing horror movie, but it's well made. It's got great acting. It's got
suspense.
Yeah, great suspense. It's got great quiet moments. Some of my favorite moments in Jaws are just the townsfolk all interacting and stuff. It's great. And Roy Scheider is Brody with his family and his kids and stuff. That's all great stuff. If you want, well, let's go ahead and start talking about the movie, because we've seen it enough times, and we've experienced Jaws so many times that in these mini movies, we kind of just talk about our favorite parts. You know what I mean? Like, so let's just start the movie, Steven, and we'll talk about our favorite moments. How much do you, when you think back, those movies with the Universal logo and the planet Earth, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like so representative of that kind of...
It takes you back.
And you know, it's funny. Even as a kid, I always remember it being all grainy and looked kind of shitty, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they've cleaned it up now, but back then, I think movies always looked old to me, you know, especially when they showed on TV and stuff. That's kind of crazy.
Most of the movies I saw that era was drive-in. So,
right.
I mean, you got mono, the little goofy speaker hanging.
Yeah.
Totally.
And yeah, I love it. It's mono. But the Universal logo now, it's like all digital. It's pristine. It's like, whoa, it's planet Earth and stuff. But back then, you know, it was just like that ball sitting there. But I wanted to ask you this about Jaws, because, you know, there's all sorts of trivia and stuff. But I wondered, at the beginning of Jaws, there's that weird bloop, 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 bloop sound. It sounds kind of like a sonar or something. What is that sound? You know what I'm talking about? What the hell is that? I don't know, but
I have to pay attention.
I always wondered if it was like sonar because it's underwater or
dolphins,
something.
Dolphins.
Yeah, is it some kind of sea life
sea
sound
life making noise? I guess I probably assumed that it was some sea life out there.
But of course, the first thing you know about Jaws is the distinctive theme. They don't wait to play the Jaws theme. It's like immediate, like bum 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 bum, and you know, as a kid, and even now, there's so many things, like, when you're a kid and you think about an adult, it's different, but the movie starts from the shark's point of view. Like, this, do you agree that this is the shark swimming underwater right now?
Yes.
He's, like, cruising along, like, hey, I'm hungry. but
looking for some food.
Yeah, and he's got his theme music playing. He's all ready to go. And the thing that... the music to Jaws is awesome. Not a lot of people talk about the Jaws theme, but it has great moments later on in the movie where it's just real quiet and stuff like that. But one thing, the Amity kids, they know how to party on this island, don't they? Man, you're just chilling. Making out, smoking and drinking. Got a bonfire going.
There.
Think of how different our lives would have been if we grew up on an island like Martha's Vineyard or something. How great would that have been?
Why couldn't I?
I know. The best thing that I you know, when you watch the opening scene is all those great 70s fashion statements, you know? And every dude had long hair. And it's, you know, like everyone needed haircuts.
That's what my hair looks like right there.
Yeah. You had that long,
really
over the ears.
Dutch boy haircut.
Like impossible to make it look decent and stuff. But I love the whole Spielberg thing at the beginning where it's just two people trading glances, you know? Not even talking. There's no setup. It's just them staring at each other and you know they're interested in each other. Every time I watch Jaws, I always think to myself, that dude is so lucky he's drunk off his ass. Am I right?
Yes.
What's your name again?
Chrissy.
Where are we going?
Swimming.
Slow up. Slow down. I'm not drunk. Slow down. Wait. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm definitely coming. Look. Hold up. What?
He's so lucky.
This fence here at the beginning, the little windbreaker fence, it just makes me feel beach, you know, like being at a beach.
Yeah. What purpose does that old fence serve? I don't know. Old lattice work? What did you call that? It's just, what is it keeping out?
I think it's like a wind block kind of thing, maybe.
Keeping out turtles?
Keeping the trail to the beach clean.
Now, this is there's nudity right away in the movie, but we can't... It's all in silhouette, Steven. I can't quite see what's going on here.
Very James Bond in silhouette.
But I love the guy. He's just like...
I can swim! Just can't walk or dress myself.
Can't get my shoe off. Falls back in.
Yeah, he's just
passes
like...
Passes out.
The guy is so lucky he's drunk off his ass. That totally would have been me. I would have been drunk and just passed out on the beach. And the next day you find out the chick you were hitting on got eaten. And you're like, well, I guess I'm kind of lucky there. It's not too bad. But another thing that I always wonder about Jaws, like the whole movie, whenever I swim in water, it's no deeper than 6 feet or something. These people are swimming in like 30 feet deep water and shit, man. I do not do that.
I've done that.
Really? Yes. Like it's that? Like
yes.
Oh, my God. Like snorkeling, I guess, right?
I was snorkeling off the
moonlight swim?
No, not at night.
Moonlight swim in the middle of the night.
It was daylight. I was in the Keys.
And the one thing, like the scene where the woman's attacked... The thing that gets me is her, like, saying, oh, God, it hurts, and stuff like that. It's really just, I always try to picture what the shark is doing under the water here, but really, it's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? What is the shark doing to make her slide around and stuff? He's jerking her back and forth, I guess. But
ripping her to pieces under there.
Yeah, and then she grabs the buoy. Did the shark like let go of her for a second? And he's like, oh, wait, there you are.
You got a chunk of leg off or something.
Mm-hmm. So it's terrifying, and then there's the immediate disappear under water, and done. She's dead. And dead. Disappeared, never to be seen of again. Oh, well, the next day. They find parts of her. Why would anyone swim so far out? But I guess if you live on an island, you're used to swimming in the ocean. So it's probably no
and
big deal.
It can drop off pretty quick, too, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. It's not like a land, like... California on the beach.
20 feet.
Like it slopes, you know, but this probably immediate drop off.
Because it's an island, the way it was formed.
And then, you know, when we meet, I love the way Spielberg establishes the family. It's a household in motion. Everybody's getting up. Brody, he's grumpy and kind of stiff and tired and doesn't want to wake up.
See the kids?
It must be in the backyard.
In the Amity, you say yard.
They're in the yard, not too far from the car. How's that?
Like you're from New York.
The kids are in the yard, not far from the car. So where's Brody from? If he's trying to talk New York here. They're in the yard.
That's Boston.
Not too far from the car. Now, you've seen Jaws... enough times, have you ever wondered why does Brody have two phones? Is one the house phone and one the police phone? Why does he have two phones? I've always wondered that, Steven.
I don't know.
Why does Brody have two phones?
That's funny. Either one, maybe one doesn't work and the other one does. That's what, the original phone with the house, and it doesn't really work.
How great is Roy Scheider in the movie, though? And his wife. I mean, it's just everything is really well done. The way it's established is he's the sheriff on Amity Island, and there's no crime there, so he's got a pretty cush job.
Listen, Chief, be careful, will you?
In this town?
In a few years, there'll be a haunted house there.
But think about this. Yeah, no kidding. The thing is, like, this movie also had so many copycats afterwards. The sheriff who's in the lazy town where he's never seen any action, nothing's ever happened. That's a cliche that happens later on in movies, right? Yeah. And I love the establishing of the Amity Island sign of the chick swimming, which later plays into later, which is hilarious. I think it's great that the guy who got drunk on the beach, he was nice enough to call the police, wasn't he? Like, she never showed up, man. I mean, for all he knows, she just swam back to shore and went home, but maybe he found her clothes. I don't know.
Nobody saw her go into the water?
Somebody could have. I was sort of passed out.
You mean she ran out on you?
No, sir. She must have drowned. Look, I reported to you, didn't I?
You live here?
No, Hartford. I go to Trinity. My folks live in Greenwich.
But your folks were born here, right?
Yeah, I'm an Islander. They moved off when my dad retired. You an Islander?
No, New York City. You here for the summer? Come on.
But it was nice of him to be an upstanding citizen, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was going to hook up with this girl who came here.
The one thing that I think as a kid that always found terrifying with the hand scene where they show the hand, it wasn't the hand that's shocking. It's the crabs are all over it. Ah! It's just like, holy shit, there's crabs eating a hand. That shit is terrifying. Like, okay, I'm done. Dad, I want to leave the theater. I want to go home.
Can't watch this anymore.
Let me go home. No, no, it's all right. You're not scared. Yes, I am scared.
Just a movie song.
See, dude, how many crabs are on that hand right there?
And the hair all meshed up in it.
It's really disturbing. Very disturbing. I see Brody, like, is holding her purse and her clothes and stuff.
So,
it was still there on the beach.
The drunk guy did find him. And
he just figured she drowned. Didn't know she was... remember, she wasn't eaten by a shark, Steven. She got caught in a boat propeller.
Yep. So they can open up the beach for the 4th of July.
Yeah. That's what I love in the early scenes of Jaws, because really it's two different movies. There's the landlocked part of the town, part of the movie, and then once they leave and go out on the Orca. But the interaction between all the townsfolk, I think, is gold. Like his secretary and his deputy and all that. I love it. It's all just great stuff. It's all very realistic dialogue, too. You know, they cast a lot of Islanders in the right. movie who weren't even actors. And they all do a great job. And we learn early on in the movie, you know, he has to deal with this dead girl, but people are still asking him about the mundane things that go on. Like the guy who comes in and says that there's these kids who...
terrorizing the town.
Who are punching, like, fence pieces. Like, my fence! It's been, you know, punched in and kicked in by these kids. They take karate and they're terrorizing the town. Like, vandalizing all the picket fences. It's really hilarious.
Well, you're up awful early. Is the chief in there? Well, chief! What have you got on?
Polly, if this new filing system is going to work, you've got to keep that outdated stuff off my desk. Just the pending, all right?
Yes, Chief. Now, we got a bunch of calls about that karate school. It seems that the 9-year-olds from the school have been karateing the picket fences. Chief Brody's office.
Yeah, we never see the kids, but on the deleted scenes, or it's not the deleted scenes, one of the documentaries on the disc, they show footage of them filming the kids punching and kicking the fence, and I thought that was hilarious. Look, the guys, look at my fence. Look what they did.
It tore up my bicycle tire, too.
When I see Amity Island, aren't you like, dude, I could totally live there?
It reminds me of the Keys when I went down there.
Just small kind of community.
Laid back community.
Mm-hmm. They depend on the tourists.
Yeah.
Man, they got all, if you're an artist there in Amity, you're pretty much, you got everything you need. I think all I need, I definitely need satellite television. I need a decent movie theater. Someone who carried Blu-rays, but maybe Amazon. That's enough.
You probably
for
have to order, yeah, order online and have it shipped.
Good
in.
Places to eat. Definitely good restaurants.
Well,
restaurants.
If you like seafood, you're yeah. set.
Yeah, definitely. The early part of the movie, I guess, it deals with Brody. He deals with mundane shit, and now he's got this tragedy that's happening. He learns that the kids are swimming for their
merit badges.
Yeah,
Chief. Polly sent me to find you to tell you that there's a bunch of Boy Scouts out in April Bay doing their mile swim for their merit badges. I couldn't call them in. There's no phones out there.
Okay, come on. Get out of there. Take this stuff back to the office and get to work on those signs.
Right.
Beach is closed. No swimming. By order of the Amity PD. Let Polly do the printing.
What's the matter with my printing?
Let Polly do the printing.
Was it for the Scouts of some sort?
Yeah, for the Boy Scouts. Yeah. And that's one thing, like, after I've seen Jaws so many times, I wonder, like, where the shark is in scenes. Like, why isn't he attacking the kids swimming? But he's probably, you know, full
sleeping
right
off
now.
Last night's
yeah.
meal.
He's sleeping off last night's meal. But I love the guy who plays the mayor. He's so great because he's such
like a slimy used car salesman.
Yeah, and I swear his character becomes a cliche in other films. Murray Hamilton. He becomes like this cliche in other horror movies where it's the in-denial mayor who doesn't want to put the word out quite just yet.
Right.
You know, you're not sure of what's going on. How can you be sure there's vampires? Those don't exist. You know, just like later on in movies, there's always this mayor character. But they do it great here. And he's like,
Martin, you going to shut down the beaches on your own authority?
Well, what other authority do I need?
Well, technically, you need a civic ordinance or a resolution by a board of selectmen.
That's just going by the book. We're really a little anxious that you're rushing into something serious here. It's your first summer, you know.
What does that mean?
I'm only trying to say that Amity is a summer town. We need summer dollars. And if people can't swim here, they'll be glad to swim at the beaches of Cape Cod, the Hamptons, Long Island.
That doesn't mean we have to serve them up a smorgasbord.
Never had that kind of trouble in these waters.
Well, what else could have done that to that girl? Boat in the belly?
Well, I think possibly, yes, a boating
accident. That's not what you told me over the phone.
I was wrong. We'll have to amend our reports.
And you'll stand by that?
I'll stand by you.
All right, you yell Barracuda. Everybody says, huh?
What?
You yell Shark. We've got a panic on our hands on the 4th of July.
Now, if you could say Barracuda, people say one thing, but you say Shark, they're in big trouble.
Got all my experts here. Yeah, that was a boat propeller. That was Shark Bite.
Yeah, he surrounds him with other guys so he can doubt everything that's going on. Maybe he's right. You know, if the guy stands by his word and says that it wasn't a shark attack, But you gotta love the mayor's jacket.
All the outfits that this guy wears is just awesome.
But I love in all the making stuff, it, you know, because they were trying to get the mechanical shark to work right. They got all of the town stuff done first because they were still working on the shark. It really does feel like a different movie. Now, let me ask you this, Steven, because I always wanted there to be an alternate cut of Pippet, the dog, surviving and running up like, oh, he's not eaten, but he is eaten, isn't he?
Yes.
Oh, do you know the muffin man?
Pippet,
the muffin.
Pippet, come on, Pippet. Pippet.
Because the dog disappears and the stick floats up to the beach. But why would the shark eat a dog? I don't get it. It's not nice.
It's tasty.
Poor Alex Kidner. This whole beach scene with Brody, you know, he's been told it wasn't a shark attack. Everything's fine. But he still doesn't quite believe it in his gut, so...
I'm going to get my raft and go back out in the water.
Let me see your fingers. Alex Kidner, they're beginning to prune.
Just let me go out a little longer.
Just 10 more minutes.
Fine.
everyone on the beach fooling around. That whole scene, this whole scene is brilliant with, you know, people, you know, playing, you know, they got the girl screaming like, ah, and she's just, you know, grabbing ass with her boyfriend, and then you got the dog. But one of my favorite parts is the lady floating, and then the old man, he almost looks like a shark coming towards her, but it's this old bastard, which we learn later is Harry, because why?
It's cold. We know all about you, Chief. You don't go in the water at all, do you?
Some bad hat, Harry.
He's got some a bad hat. Some bad hat, Harry. We know about you, Chief. You don't go in the water. I love that he's like totally, you know, breaking his balls. Another thing I love to point out in these Nim Mini movies is corporate logos and like product endorsement. You'll notice in the scene there's product endorsement. See if you notice it, okay? But I love the way when Brody sees, he's like sits up like, holy shit, is that shark? Oh, and it's the old man. And then he kind of just like, ugh. I love it. Like, the guy comes up and he's trying to talk to him about other mundane shit. And he's just looking over his shoulder the whole time.
Hey, Mike, I know you got a lot of problems downtown, but I've got a couple of problems at the house I wish you could take care of. One, I've got some cats parking in front of the house. I can't get down to the office. And that garbage truck next to the office has got to be moved. So what I need is a red zone. It's a simple thing you can take care of.
Honey, would you come here a minute, please?
You got the fake shark attack, the woman, the girl playing with her boyfriend.
Yeah, she's like, ah! Good times!
And for being a busy beach, there's not a whole lot of people in the water.
Yeah. All these attractive people at the beach. That's one thing you notice, too. There's a lot of older people.
There's old Harry.
Harry and his disturbing man boobs. That's some bad hat, Harry.
Some bad hat, Harry.
Did you notice the product endorsement yet? You see
Coca-Cola.
It? Coca-Cola. And look, Fanta and Tab. I don't think isn't that a Fanta?
Fanta, yeah.
I don't think I ever would have noticed that in a previous version because I can't see the labels. But this pristine, cleaned up Blu-ray, you can totally see it's a Tab. Pip-It? Pip-It? I always thought he was saying Tip-It. Like, oh, like Phil Tippett, the guy who worked on Star Wars. But, you know, they wouldn't reference him yet. You know, Star Wars is 77. I think Phil Tippett worked on Empire Strikes Back. So they would not reference him in Jaws in 75. So, no, it's Pip-It, Jason. Poor Alex Kittner. This is where he buys it, Steven.
Yep. Boom.
The amount of blood is really disturbing. Holy shit. The
kid doesn't have that much blood.
It's a little ridiculous. But it's got that famous, what do you call that? That weird, like, rack focus camera zooming in while pulling back effect. That's awesome. That's an iconic shot right there, isn't it?
Everybody running into the water and grabbing their children.
Of course, you know, poor Alex Kittner's mom. So many people.
She's one of the ones you were talking about. You know, she's an Islander. Isn't really an actor, actress.
She does a great job later on in the movie. But this is what sets it all, makes the town crazy, is she puts a $3,000 bounty out on the shark, and the whole town starts to go nuts.
It's not just the Gazette. She's advertising an out-of-town papers. Now, people are going to be all over New England. They're going to know about it.
Cambridge, where we'll have more room.
I'm responsible for public safety.
Then go out there tomorrow and see that no one gets hurt.
Marty. It's a small story. I'm going to bury it as deep as I can. The ad is going to run in the back along with the grocery ad.
But I love, do you remember the joke the guy says? Where he's like, is that cash or check? Ha, 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 ha. Did you ever understand why that's funny?
No.
Any special questions?
Is that $3,000 bounty on the shark in cash or check?
I don't think that's funny at all. Sorry.
All right, all right. That's private business between you, fisherman, and Mrs. Kentner.
And even the lady goes, that's not funny. I'm like, I just don't get the joke. What is so... I don't get it. But, of course, all the mayor cares about is he doesn't want to panic on the 4th of July, so...
That's their busy weekend.
Is that $3,000, Bonnie? Cash your check. I don't think that's funny. That's not funny at all.
You're right, lady. It's not.
Yeah, I don't get it. But what's great about this scene is, of course, we have another iconic moment, would you say, in cinema, in Jaws that you always remember, which is Quint with his fingernails on the chalkboard.
Yeah. You all know me. Know how I earn a living. I'll catch this bird for you, but it ain't gonna be easy. Bad fish. Not like going down the pond chasing bluegills or tommy cats. This shark, swallow you whole. Shaking, tenderizing, down you go. Now we gotta do it quick. I don't bring back the tourists, that'll put all your businesses on a paying basis. But it's not gonna be pleasant. I value my neck a lot more than $3,000, Chief. I'll fine him for three, but I'll catch him and kill him for 10. And you gotta make up your minds. You wanna stay alive and ante up? You wanna play it cheap? Be on welfare the whole winter. I don't want no volunteers. I don't want no mates. There's too many captains on this island. $10,000 for me by myself. For that, you get the head. The tail, the whole damn thing.
You know me. You know what I do for a living. That whole scene, I love it. Everything about Robert Shaw is just gold in this movie.
Yeah, Robert Shaw is awesome in this movie.
And I love the best parts of the movie is when he's giving Richard Dreyfuss a hard time through the whole movie. It's gold. And, you know, when Brody tells everyone they are, yes, we are closing the beach. And he's like, only 24 hours.
Are you going to close the beaches?
Yes, we are.
We're also planning to bring in some experts from the Oceanographic Institute on the mainland.
These people are kind of assholes. Someone, a little boy's been eaten and they're complaining about... closing the beach for 24 hours. Like, do they not understand what's going on?
That was...
Hey, there's Harry!
It was a fluke.
Do you love the chalk drawing of the shark? What was that about? Did Quint draw that? Or was it already there? That's what I want to know. I picture
him... Look at the size of the little figure inside of it.
Do you picture him drawing that?
That's supposed to be little Alex Kittner inside.
Yeah. Like, did Quint come and sit in the back of the room when no one was paying attention and draw that?
Maybe, because it wasn't on there when they walked in.
Yeah, he was drawing that in the background. He basically says, you know...
I'll get this shark, but it'll cost you more.
I'll find him for $3,000, but I'll catch him and kill him for $10,000. Think $10,000 for Quint? He's rich, right? Thank you, Mr. Quint.
Thank you very much, Mr. Quint. We'll take it under advisement. Mr. Mayor, Chief, ladies and gentlemen.
But don't you just love Quint's little, his manservant and dog? What is that about?
His little helper. That's his Gilligan.
Yeah. We don't really see much of him later, but... How great is the scene where Brody's looking at the shark books? And I love the music here, the John Williams score. It's awesome. But when his wife sidles up and it's like...
Oh, God. You scared me.
You know, Alan, people don't even know how old sharks are. I mean, if they live 2,000-3,000 years, they don't know.
Enough. You're not
going
to even be able to go to sleep tonight here.
He scares the shit out of him. Always love
really into this book.
Yeah. Have you ever done that where you've been looking at something kind of creeping you out and someone's like, hey, Steven? And you're like, ah.
I think it's been more of a noise outside the house when I was reading some Stephen King books or something late at night. And
something happens where it's just kind of like, holy shit.
car door slams.
One thing that I get from Brody watching Jaws all these years is he really drinks a lot of alcohol, doesn't he? He really needs a chill with wine.
Loves the liquor.
You want to get drunk and fool around? Oh, yeah.
Want to get drunk and fool around?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Mikey really loves his present.
Where is it?
Sitting in it.
All right, Michael, out of the boat!
I have a jetty sitting in the boat.
Martin, it's his birthday tomorrow.
I don't want him on the ocean.
He's not on the ocean. He is in a boat. He's not going to go in the water. I don't think he'll ever go in the water again after what happened yesterday.
So he hates the water, but he bought his son a boat.
Oh, the best part in the movie when she talks about, well, Mikey sure is enjoying his present. What? He's sitting in his boat. He's like, get out of the boat, Michael. But the best part, his wife thinks he's just, oh, calm down. He's fine. And then she looks at the shark book, and it's a shark chewing on a boat. And she's like,
Michael, did you hear your father out of the water now? Now!
It's great. Get out of the boat!
It terrorizes his child.
His kids are hilarious in the movie, the little kid. Did you hear your father? Get out of the water now. Oh, my two favorite characters. Charlie and what's the other guy's name? He has a weird name. Den Herder. Nerf Herder.
I'm tired. Let's stop before someone reports us.
Don't worry. The chief lives on the other side of the island.
Am I coming in straight?
Don't worry. Just keep rolling.
We better catch something. This is my wife's holiday roast.
Don't worry about it. $3,000 buys an awful lot of roast.
This would totally be you and me on the island, wouldn't it? Steven, I know we can make $3,000. Let me just take this roast.
My wife's going to kill me. Got the Sunday pot roast.
Those guys are characters.
Got the tire for his floater.
Hey, look, the tide's taking it right out. I love the one guy just wants to go home. Can we go home? Another great scene, Brody looking through the shark book, and then it starts getting into shark bites. He's like, ah. Just, again, the John Williams score and the whole scene is just so played so well. Do you see that foreshadowing there?
Yeah, the tank.
There's an oxygen tank in the shark's mouth in the picture. I wonder if Spielberg saw that and was like,
I always remember that from, like, the Guinness book. The big jaws with all the scientists inside.
Jesus. Yeah, there's the one picture of the guy's leg shredded. It's like, holy crap. Again, the whole dock scene, you know, and the, of course, the music. Well, that's what I love, you know, whenever you're the bum, 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 you know, oh shit, he's there right now. And he's taking the pot roast, ripping off the the dock. Those poor old guys. Every time I've seen the movie a million times, I always think this guy's going to get eaten anyway, because he does, and he gets out of the water, but you always think he's too slow. He's about to get eaten, right?
Right.
Charlie, take my word for it. Don't look back. Swim, Charlie. Swim. Come on, Charlie. Swim. Swim, Charlie. Come on. To me, boy. Come on. Come on, Charlie. Swim. To me. Come on, Charlie. Keep swimming. Keep swimming, Charlie. Come on. A little more, Charlie. Out of one. Come here. Out of one.
Get up.
I can't get up. Can we go home now?
Yeah, he's not gonna make it back.
There's no way. He's swimming really slow. I love the guy's like, Charlie, trust me. You don't want to look back.
Don't look back.
That's what's so brilliant about the movie also is they never show the shark. They just show the dock turning around and coming back.
And that chain was way longer, so the shark would already be right there.
Yeah, that's what you always picture. Like, okay, where's the shark in the shot? Where would he be underwater? You think that a lot. But still, the scene is really... It's good stuff. And you just love those guys. And of course, the great ending line to the scene. Do you remember what it is?
Can we go home now?
Can we go home now? I love that.
The dog just floats up.
Don't you just picture the shark? Should we call him Bruce or Jaws? He's Jaws, right? But the shark just swam away going, aww, didn't he? He's kind of disappointed. But I love the next day. It shows how many people have come to Amity to collect their $3,000. And it's just insane, like the amount of people who've shown up in boats. I love it. All the different characters they show. And the first thing we hear is about Charlie and...
Den Herder
almost getting eaten.
So then Den Herder and Charlie sat there trying to catch their breath and figure out how to tell Charlie's wife what happened to her freezer full of meat.
That's not funny. That's not funny at all.
Mrs. Kidner must have put her ad in Field and Stream.
It's more like the National Enquirer.
And he kind of laughs, and Brody's like, that's not funny. And we get the introduction of who? The great Hoopa.
Hoopa.
Hello.
Hello back, young fella. How are you? Say, I hope you're not going out with those nuts, are you?
It's great. I love all the different conversations and stuff going on.
These tiny little boats.
Yeah. He's just trying to get the sheriff's attention. Oh, I love that part when he's like, there's too many people in that boat. It's not safe. It's not safe. And
you got dynamite?
Yeah, you don't need that. And I love when Hooper says to the guys, he goes,
gentlemen, the officer asked me to tell you that you're overloading that boat.
You ain't going, man. What do you care?
Hold on.
Well, then can you tell me if there's a good restaurant or hotel on the island?
You walk straight ahead.
Yeah, they're all going to die.
Go on, get out of here. And he goes, well, could you recommend a good restaurant or hotel on the island?
Yeah, walk straight ahead.
Walk straight ahead. And that's such a great line. He's like, they're all going to die. That's such a great scene. So, yeah, he's basically saying, you know, you got to control this, but he's like...
What are you doing out there? These are your people. Go and talk to them.
Those aren't my people. They're from all over the place. Do you see all the license plates out in the parking lot? Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Jersey? I'm all by myself
out there. What happened to the extra help we're supposed to
have? That's not until the 4th of July. Between now and then, it's you and me.
You know those 8 guys in the fantail launch out there?
Yeah?
Well, none of them are going to get out of the harbor alive.
Lenny, that's what I'm talking about. You know their first names. Talk to those clowns.
You should be having a really good time today.
Tell me about it. Polly, I'll get back to you.
Listen, can you tell me how I could find Chief Brody?
Who are you?
Matt Hooper. I'm from the Oceanographic Institute.
Oh, for Christ's sakes, you're the guy we called. I'm Brody.
Oh, I'm very glad to meet you.
Yeah, I'm glad to meet you,
too. Listen, I know you got a lot on your hands right now, but...
What can we do for you?
Well, I think the best thing for me to do is to see the remains of the first victim, the girl on the beach.
You know the guys out there in that launch? Yeah, they're all going to drown. Yeah. But my favorite part is a little montage they show of all the boats out, kind of like all
when they're trying to get out of the harbor.
Yeah,
bumping into each other.
They're like throwing, what are they throwing? Like
chum.
Cherry bombs, and they're throwing chum.
When we get them silly bastards down in that rock pile, there'll be some fun. They'll wish their fathers had never met the mothers when they start taking their bottoms out and slamming into them rocks, boy. Get away from there, you goddamn fool, you! What's the matter with you? What a sloppish, you crazy son of a bitch!
What are you doing? What are these guys doing out here?
What are you doing back there, man? Tell us what the hell they're doing back there, then.
They're chumming right now.
Chumming? What the hell is that?
They're fucking with rock now.
$8,000 divided.
Our
ways is what?
What?
Not
what? You're
slamming!
Jesus!
What?
And they're just all bumping into each other. And you see Ben Gardner right here. He's the guy later on who we see his head.
Yeah.
What's sad is he seems well put together, doesn't he? So you remember he has a hole in his boat, so he went out far in.
These crazy bastards here.
Yeah. They've got like 4 or 5 people in a boat.
Two dogs.
They've got dogs with them. All of this guy's throwing fire. What is that? Cherry bombs, basically, in the water?
Probably like those M80s or whatever.
They're dumping blood and chum everywhere. Just crazy. A free for all.
It's like, if you didn't have sharks before, you will now.
That $3,000 made everybody crazy. But then we get the scene where Hooper goes and looks at the...
remains?
Yeah, the remains of poor... Was her name Chrissy?
Yeah, Chrissy.
The torso has been severed in mid-thorax. There are no major organs remaining. May I have a glass of water, please? Right arm has been severed above the elbow with massive tissue loss in the upper musculature. Thank you very much. Partially denuded bone remaining. This was no boat accident. Did you notify the Coast Guard about this?
No. It was only local jurisdiction.
The left arm, head, shoulders, sternum, and portions of the rib cage are intact. Do not smoke in here. Thank you very much. This is what happens. It indicates the non-frenzied feeding of a large squalus, possibly Longimanus or Asurus glaucus. Now, the enormous amount of tissue loss prevents any detailed analysis. However, the attacking squalus must be considerably larger than any normal squalus found in these waters. Didn't you get on a boat and check out these waters?
No.
Well, this is not a boat accident. It wasn't any propeller. It wasn't any coral reef. And it wasn't Jack the Ripper. It was a shark.
To determine if it was a shark bite or not. And
I love, him.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, can I please get a glass of water? He's just like, immediately like, holy shit.
The remains were in that tiny little tub. So, like, this was no boat accident.
Yeah. Did you notify the Coast Guard? No, I didn't. So they've got kind of part of her torso there. I love how there's jewelry still on the hand. But, man, inside that arm looks gross. It always makes, when he's saying that Latin, it reminds me of Willy Wonka. It's all there in black and white. You can see, like, the autopsy guy, like, he's getting reprimanded, but he knew it the whole time. It wasn't a boat accident. And I love the reveal. The guy's caught this nasty-looking shark. And it has the best line that... You know when
I just got an arrow in it.
It's got a freaking arrow. He shot it with an arrow. It's great. It's actually got 2 arrows in it, doesn't it?
Yes. One towards the rear.
But I love when Hooper's like, the whole time you see how skeptical he is, because Brody's like, all right, they got it. You know, we don't have to worry about this shit anymore. But Hooper's like, I don't know.
He's got this tape measure out.
What is this bite radius crap?
That is a big mouth. Look at
all I'm trying to tell you. I'm going to stuff your freaking head in there, man, and find out if it's a man eater, all right?
Yeah, and I love the guys from me, like, what are you doing? You know, they don't want anybody to say, no, this isn't the shark. They start to get pissed off. Well, just stick your head in there. This is probably my favorite Richard Dreyfuss role. You know, he's great. He's been great in a lot of movies, but I love him in this. He's becomes Brody's confidant, his right-hand man, you know? He knows about sharks. He's there to tell the audience about sharks, you know?
Yeah, he's our inside man. You know what's going on.
But I love where he's like, the part where the guys are like, what kind of shark is it? And he goes, tiger shark. I love the way the guy does it. He goes,
what kind of a shark is it?
Gee, I don't know. I think it's a Macaw.
Got a deep throat, Pratt.
Yeah, but what kind? What kind of shark?
It's a tiger shark.
A what?
He sounds like Flounder from Animal House. A what? It's gold. But you notice that the first person Brody thinks it is who got the shark is, did Ben Gardner get this?
Ben Gardner get this?
We got it.
But nobody's seen Ben Gardner. Where could he be, Steven?
Sunk.
Oh. His head is chopped off somewhere underwater. Poor Ben Gardner. So right now, as this is happening, is Ben Gardner dying, or do you think it already happened? Or it hasn't happened yet? He's still
don't know.
Out there.
I guess
he might still be out
there. It's happening.
Mm-hmm. He's like, it's 101. 101. But it's a great scene where he basically says that Hooper says, the only way we're going to know this for sure is if we cut open the stomach.
Martin, there are all kinds of sharks in the waters, you know? Hammerheads, white tips, blues, makos. And the chances that these bozos got the exact shark...
Oh, there's no other sharks like this in these waters.
It's 100 to 1. 100 to 1. Now, I'm not saying that this is not the shark. It probably is, Martin. It probably is. It's a man-eater. It's extremely rare for these waters. But the fact is that the bite radius on this animal is different than the wounds on the victim. I want to be sure. You want to be sure. We all want to be sure, okay? And what I want to do is very simple. The digestive system of this animal is very, very slow. Let's cut it open. Whatever it's eaten in the last 24 hours is bound to still be in there, and then we'll be sure.
Look, fellas, let's be reasonable, huh? This is not the time or the place to perform some kind of a half-assed autopsy on a fish. And I am not going to stand here and see that thing cut open and see that little Kettner boy spill out all over the dock.
So it's understandable what he's saying. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. But this scene always gets me, no matter how many times I see it, when Miss Kettner shows up in her black veil.
We have another great suit by the mayor.
Yeah. You can even see when everyone sees her, everyone shuts up and just looks, and it becomes dead quiet. And what I love also about the scene is, you know, Hooper just got there, but he sees, like, all the weight immediately that's on Brody's shoulders here. That he's basically getting blamed for this. And we, as the audience, know it's not his fault. He wanted to close the beaches. He got pressured out of it.
Yeah.
Then a little boy died. So when she does this and she's like...
Chief Brody?
Yes?
I just found out that a girl got killed here last week. And you knew it. You knew there was a shark out there. You knew it was dangerous. But you let people go swimming anyway. You knew all those things. But still, my boy is dead now. And there's nothing you can do about it. My boy is dead. I wanted you to know that.
You want to go, no, it's not his fault. Poor Brody.
It's like, I tried, but you're mayor. But he didn't throw him under the bus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the mayor didn't come in to defend him at all here, did he? He just says, she's wrong, Brody. And the lady's mourning. It's not like you're going to try to talk sense into her. Poor little kid was just having fun at the beach, Stephen. Who knew how much blood he had in him? It was just...
He was full.
He's full of blood. He's like, she's wrong, Brody. No, she's not.
She's not. It's my fault.
But just the shot of Hooper watching as he walks away. One of my favorite scenes in the movie, Steven, when Brody's sitting at the table and his son is mimicking everything he does.
Yeah,
and
I do love this.
The John Williams music. Just everything. Just the mood of this. And the chief's getting his drink on, isn't he, in this whole scene? I just love how he's really mellow in this entire scene, even when Hooper shows up. But the scene with the kid, I just always love it. It's just endearing, and he's like...
Give me. Give us a kiss.
need it.
Would you call this a total Spielberg moment in a movie? Definitely. Hooper saves the day when he brings red and white wine.
Didn't know what you were having.
But I love where he says, Hooper says...
Matt Hooper.
Oh, hi, Ellen Brody.
Your husband's home.
Yes.
I'd really like to talk to him.
Yes, so would I.
Because he hasn't said a word since he's gotten home. I love how he's just... You can tell he's... He's got a good buzz going, doesn't he, Brody?
Yep.
How you doing? Swell.
Swell.
But I love the whole scene with the wife just trying to talk to Hooper.
My husband tells me you're in Sharks.
Excuse me. Well, yes, I've never heard it quite put that way, but yes, I am. I love Sharks.
You love Sharks?
Yeah, I love them. I love them. When I was 12 years old, my father got me this boat, and I went fishing off of Cape Cod. And I hooked a scup, and as I was reeling it in, I hooked a 4.5-foot baby thresher shark who proceeded to eat my boat. He ate my oar hooks and my seat cushions. He turned an inboard into an outboard, scared me to death. And I swam back to shore. And when I was on the beach, I turned around and I actually saw my boat being taken apart, and ever since then, I have been studying sharks, and that's why I know that I'm going to go to the Institute tomorrow and tell them that you still have a shark problem here.
Why do you have to tell them that?
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I thought that you told me the shark was caught, and I heard it on the news. I heard it on the Cape Station.
They caught a shark, not the shark.
And that's why he is into sharks, which would totally do that. Some traumatizing childhood event... changes your life forever. That's usually how it happens.
Luckily, that didn't happen to me by being traumatized by this movie.
Yeah.
Not that I was traumatized by it, but...
In a lot of ways, Jaws did. Didn't you always think of sharks when you swam in the pool? Hell, I could even swim in the bathtub and think of sharks and get kind of scared. I had an active imagination.
I don't think I got scared swimming in pools or anything. We just played... may have played Jaws, you know. Done the sneak attacks on people.
Right. Where you'd swim underwater and grab their leg or something.
Yeah, pull them under.
But I love when Brody fills his cup with wine, like, all the way. And basically Hooper's there to say, we need to go cut open that shark. Martin never goes in the water.
Martin hates boats. Martin hates water. Martin sits in his car when we go on the ferry to the mainland. I guess it's a childhood thing. There's a clinical name for it, isn't there?
Drowning.
Oh, yeah, there's a clinical name for it, right, honey? Drowning. Great line. You know, there's a part here where he talks about, like, people attacked in 3 feet of water on the beach.
Is it true that most people get attacked by sharks in 3 feet of water, about 10 feet from the beach?
Yeah.
And that before people started to swim for recreation, before sharks... knew what they were missing, that a lot of these attacks weren't reported.
That's right.
Now, this shark that swims alone...
Rogue.
What's it called?
Rogue.
Rogue. Now, this guy, he keeps swimming around in a place where the feeding is good until the food supply is gone, right?
It's called territoriality. It's just a theory that I happen to agree with.
Then why don't we have one more drink and go down and cut that shark open?
Martin? Can you do that?
I can do anything. I'm the chief of police.
But really, that's kind of something that we know isn't true now.
Yeah,
it's a misnomer at the time of this movie where people thought sharks would eat us for food. But now we know that they basically attack people on accident. They take like a bite to see what we are.
Or resemble something else.
But they don't eat humans. They usually, when people get bit by a shark or attacked, it's usually the bite can be bad enough to either kill you or you'll be missing a limb, but they don't mean to eat you on purpose. But back in this time of the movie, you thought that's sharks wanted to eat people. But I love the whole shark autopsy scene. Isn't it great?
Dark. In the alimentary canal, open the digestive tract.
Oh,
Just like I thought. I came up with a Gulf Stream from Southern Waters.
He didn't need a car, did he?
No. Tiger Shark's like a garbage can, it'll eat anything. Someone probably threw that in a river. Whew. That's it.
Gotta close the beach, call the mayor.
I always remember the Jaws. I don't remember what it was called. Mad Magazine did a spoof of Jaws. And the scene where they were cutting open the shark, I just remember... I can't remember exactly what it was, but there's all sorts of hilarious stuff they were pulling out of the stomach. I think a whole Volkswagen bug came out of the shark stomach. I'll always remember that. We got a can, we got an uneaten fish, a half a fish, and then Brody knows he's got to...
close the beach.
Close the beach.
I think the mouth is bigger than that, that what he just motioned.
Now let me ask you this. You've seen Jaws a million times, as we talked about, over 100. Did you ever think, why didn't they take Hooper's boat? Because it was this badass rigged boat with state-of-the-art equipment. I always think that, like, man, why didn't they take his boat to go get the shark? Why didn't it follow the orca? But we know later on it's because, you know, it's Quint's rules. It's his way. But his Hooper's boat is awesome. It's like, why didn't they take it?
State of the art. It'd probably be still a nice boat today.
But I love how Brody's thinking about, like, he's liquor. Drunk. First of all, he's drunk, and he's talking about, like...
I'm telling you, the crime rate in New York will kill you. There's so many problems, you never feel like you're accomplishing anything. Violence, rip-offs, muggings. Kids can't leave the house. You gotta walk them to school. But in Amity, one man can make a difference. In 25 years, there's never been a shooting or a murder in this town.
Long thing. Long pencil.
He's like, why does a man who hates the water live on an island?
Doesn't make any sense. I mean, they pay a guy like you to watch sharks?
Well, doesn't make much sense for a guy who hates the water to live on an island, either.
It's only an island if you look at it from the water.
That makes a lot of sense.
Such a great line. Now I gotta tell you, as a kid, when they find Ben Gardner's boat, this whole moment, it was traumatizing for me, because this is one of those moments I remember differently than it really happens in the movie. Because, you know, Hooper goes down in the water. First of all, you know he's going to get attacked when he's down here, right? It doesn't happen. The thing that protects him is his intelligence, right? He's positive nothing will happen, so he goes down there and he's going to be fine. So you're like, okay. And he finds the shark tooth, but right then... the Ben Gardner head floats out of the hole, and it's a huge jump scene, isn't it? Like, holy shit! As a kid, I swear, I always remembered it as the head going, like, popping out, like, even, like, making that sound like pops out on a spring. And I remembered as a kid like that, like, ah, like the head pops out. But now, you know, you watch it and it just floats out. But the music goes like that, and it, you know, kind of just scares the shit out of you. So I totally remembered it worse than it really is. But this scene, when you watch it as a kid, every time I knew it was coming up, I would kind of start to look at the floor a little like, yeah, this part again. How am I going to make it through this scene? I know, I'll stare at the floor. Nobody will notice that I'm not actually looking at the screen here, and they'll think I'm brave and I'm watching the scary scene. Pretty smart, huh?
Keep my head up and look down. Thinking that the shark is going to come, you know, you're like, the anticipation, you know, you're antsy going, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. He finds a shark tooth.
Hey. Got a little evidence here. And that's where I thought...
the shark's going to pop out right there.
And I didn't think he was going to get attacked, but he would get away somehow.
Yeah. He does... Oh, Richard Dreyfuss, I think for years in the swimming pool, mimic the... has that sound of bubble. Like it screams in horror underwater. It's gold. No, he's swimming in Mountain Dew right here. The scene that follows this is great. They have the mayor, and they're telling him,
I pulled a tooth the size of a shot glass out of the wrecked hull of a boat out there, and it was the tooth of a great white.
It was Ben Gardner's boat. It was all chewed up. I helped tow it in. You should have seen him.
Where is that tooth? Did you see it, Broden?
No, I didn't see it. He dropped it.
I had an accident. Way in.
And what did you say the name of this shark is?
It's a Carcharodon carcharias. It's a great white.
But you don't have the tooth.
Do you have this tooth? He's just in complete denial. He doesn't want to close for 4th of July. When they reveal the Amity sign again and someone's painted a shark fin and she's saying, help! And he goes, take a good look at that sign.
Mr. Vaughn, what we are dealing with here is a perfect engine, an eating machine. It's really a miracle of evolution. All this machine does is swim and eat and make little sharks. And that's all. Now, why don't you take a long, close look at this sign? Those proportions are correct.
Love to prove that, wouldn't you? Get your name into the National Geographic. Larry, if we make an effort today, we might be able to save August.
August? For Christ's sake, tomorrow's the 4th of July, and we will be open for business. It's going to be one of the best summers we've ever had. Now, if you fellas are concerned about the beaches, you do whatever you have to make them safe. But those beaches will be open for this weekend.
Get your name in National Geographic. And he's like... But Richard Dyford says the best, like, kind of laugh thing going on there.
Yeah, I'll just leave. I don't care.
Yeah.
I think that I am familiar with the fact that you are going to ignore this particular problem until it swims up and bites you on the ass.
But I love the whole conversation. The camera slowly pans, and then you see the Amity Island sign.
Look at her face, too.
It's a deliberate mutilation of a public service message. I wonder if it's the Karate Kids who painted that.
And he gets frustrated. I'm just not going to deal with this mayor. He's an idiot.
But his whole spiel about how it's a perfect engine. It's an eating machine.
That's all it does is eat and swim.
But the mayor is not going to close the beaches. But this is one of my favorite moments in the movie. The 4th of July rush and this music by John Williams. You know, it's the bum, 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 bum. It's just like this whole like montage of everyone showing up. Now we see Brody has a use for two phones. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Brody and Hooper are both on different lines.
Two lines.
Well, I bet you one is a home phone and one's the police phone. That's why. It's got to be it.
Look at these people.
All these people are showing up on that.
Rolls Royce.
Uh-huh. Nice. Did you ever wonder the video game, the shark game? What is it called? Killer Shark? Did you ever get to play that? Did it really exist anywhere? Or
I do remember vaguely. I don't know if that was the right, real name of it, but I do remember that a video game like that.
That's the only time like we see a couple of arcade games in the background, but I think that's all we see. It's the
In the 70s?
Yeah, 70s.
Wow.
I guess it's early versions of arcades, because it looked kind of crappy, the shark game.
It looked like the bad pre-Nintendo
Yeah, it's like almost like animation. It's like going... It's kind of weird. I love the reporter guy walking on the beach doing his news story.
Amity Island has long been known for its clean air, clear water, and beautiful white sand beaches. But in recent days, a cloud has appeared on the horizon of this beautiful resort community. A cloud in the shape of a killer shark.
He's so dramatic. I love it. It's funny. I've watched this movie so many times. This whole 4th of July thing. I always think back that somebody dies on this day. The shark goes to the pond, right? But everyone has so much attention focused on the kids who are pretend to be a shark.
Yeah.
Had they not done that, maybe they would have seen the shark. I don't know. But I love this. Like, nobody was going in the water until the mayor pressures the guy. He goes,
"Oh, hi, Larry. Why aren't you in the water?"
I just put some suntan lotion on, and I'm trying to absorb some of this sun.
Nobody's going in. Please, get in the water."
And it's so sad they do this death march. You ever notice the... They take their kids and everybody holds hands and they walk into the water. Just look at the terrified look on the wife's face as she goes walk. They're like going in the water. She looks terrified.
Come on, we can go in the water now.
Come on, kids. I would totally stop right there, like go 1 foot in and just kind of get my feet wet. Look at the wife. She's
looking around.
Why are they going so deep in? Just stink. It's towards the edge. And look, the mayor's got a smile on his face. All right, everybody's going in. Everything's all right.
Talking with his son, Mike. Yeah, you guys don't boat out here. Go to the pond.
Mike, do me a favor, will you? You and the other guys take the boat and put it in the pond instead.
Pond's for old ladies.
I know it's for the old ladies, but just do it for the old man, huh? Please?
All right.
And what does he do? He puts his son in harm's way by telling him to go to the pond. How was he supposed to know, though? I love whenever the mayor gets on with a reporter, he goes,
"I'm pleased and happy to repeat the news that we have, in fact, caught and killed a large predator that supposedly injured some bathers. But as you see, it's a beautiful day, the beaches are open, and people are having a wonderful time. Amity, as you know, means friendship."
So everybody, come on down here. Spend your money. Hey, I can understand his point of view. He wants people to come there and spend money and get the economy and Amity going. But all the underwater shots of Jaws always make me think the same thing. Why are they in so deep of water? The water is so deep. I'm staying in the sand. My feet are touching the ground the whole time.
Yeah, when I would go to the lake and you can't see, I get a little... I know there's those sharks, but there's other fish in there that...
A catfish can bite your toes, right? Nibble on them.
Well, I've had other fish nibble. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird.
But in the theater, when you see the scene, everyone goes... Because we all think it's a shark.
That woman. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Roy.
Swamp the children.
I love the scene. There's a scene here where everyone thinks there's a shark. A guy pushes the kids off a raft, and then he jumps on the raft. Have you ever noticed that? He takes their little thing to get away. It's so hilarious and sad at the same time. Watch the scene. It's so great. It's this big guy. He's like, pushes it. He doesn't give a shit about the children. Boom. And he takes the raft. What an asshole. Jesus. Talk about panic.
Some old man.
Remember when the guy starts blowing the whistle, Brody's like, "Don't blow the whistle," because he doesn't want panic, you know? But how else could they have gotten everyone out? I love that. All the
all these guns.
He made me do it. He thought he wouldn't do it.
He made me do it. I love the kids. They get busted, and he immediately blames his friend.
He talked me into it.
So now it's the boy who cried wolf, you know, because as soon as the chick sees a shark.
Shark! The shark! Shark!
Now what?
Michael's in the pond.
He's lying in the pond! Somebody do something! He's in the pond! He's in the pond! He's in the pond!
He's in the pond! No, he's like, oh, now what? But this is the first... I mean, when Alex Kidner, we saw some fins and stuff, but now we see kind of like bigger fins swimming in. A lot of people, even in some of the documentaries, they talk about the first time you see the shark is when Brody's chumming. But you see the shark under the water here going for the dude. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I love the, kids bitching each other about doing knots and stuff. We would never know. We're not islanders, right? We don't care about doing knots. Hey, you guys okay over there?
Hey, guys. You guys okay over there?
This guy's toast. You know, he's too friendly. He's a nice guy. He's about to get eaten, Steven. It's not fair. When the guy in the pond gets bitten, it's kind of like a holy shit. Like, you can see it under the water. Like, oh, shit! And then here's the scene, Steven. The leg that traumatized me as a kid. Oh! Oh! As a kid, when that leg, I'm just like, I'm out.
I'm done.
Time out. I'm going home. I'm going to play pinball in the the lobby. I'm going to go to the restroom and not come back for 30 minutes. And that was a trick I did as a kid in scary movies. Like, I got to go to the bathroom and I'd be gone forever. Sometimes my dad would come looking for me, but other times he knew what I was doing. And he's like, he's not coming back. You start to go back and you see it's still scary, so you leave again. But as a kid, I also, when he goes, you know, his son's not responsive, and he goes,
he's dead.
No, he's not. He's in shock.
I was like, oh, what the hell does that mean? He was in the water. How did he get electrocuted? I didn't know what it meant.
So when he realizes he has to kill the shark.
Mm-hmm. There's no alternative. That's what you're going to have to do. I love that shot of just going into the ocean. The unknown.
I got to go into the water.
Even this doctor has the long hair. The long shaggy do. It's the 70s. I love the scene with the mom. She's asking Mikey what he wants. And he's like,
hey, how's my big kid?
I'm all right. You are. You going to miss me tonight? You can watch television. Want me to bring anything from home?
My cars.
Your cars. What about ice cream?
Coffee.
Coffee.
But what's great about this scene, you know, his son's been traumatized. He's in shock. He's in the hospital. When he sees the mayor, he does all the talking. You know, he pretty much manhandles it. He grabs him. He goes, come over here. I need to talk to you. You're going to sign this right now.
And a pen, Larry. Yeah, a pen, you know. Because you're going to do what you do best. You're going to sign this voucher so I can hire a contractor.
I don't know if I can do that without...
I'm going to hire Quint to kill the shark.
What? Focus.
What are you talking about? Larry, the summer is over. You're the mayor of Shark City. These people think you want the beaches open.
I was acting in the town's best interest.
That's right. You were acting in the town's best interest, and that's why you're going to do the right thing. That's why you're going to sign this, and we're going to pay that guy what he wants.
Martin.
My kids were on that beach, too.
My kids were there. You know, he almost sent his kids to their death. I think it's finally going through his head.
We can save August.
All of that. You're the mayor of Shark City. There's no going back. We're screwed. The only thing worse than this could be maybe a haunted house here scaring everyone away. But that'll never happen.
No.
So basically he strong arms the mayor.
Smoking in a hospital.
Yeah. I love the 70s. People could smoke anywhere. You could smoke in the maternity ward if you wanted to, probably. Ah, cute babies.
You saw those pictures. Yeah, the movies where they were smoking cigars in the waiting room.
Yeah.
Never happened now.
$10,000. Oh, I love the whole, like, when Quint's telling everything he wants.
$10,000. $200 a day, whether I catch him or not. You got it.
Get the mirror off my back so I don't have any more of this zoning crap.
You've got that.
One case of apricot brandy. You buy the lunch.
Two cases.
You get dinner when you get back. Champagne, patty de foie, Iranian caviar, and don't forget the color TV.
And then he wants the chief to drink some of his moonshine, I guess.
Yep.
But I love, like, he's drinking it in front of him, but as soon as Quint gets distracted, he spits it out immediately. I think he's seeing if he could hold his liquor. One of the best lines that Quint has when he says,
he has to swimming with bow-legged women.
But the whole scene here, when now the movie shifts to Quint, him giving Hooper a hard time, I love it. Because, you know, he's saying, Hooper's coming with him. And he's like, no way. And then he starts taking the piss out of him, you know?
Yeah. Making him do the knots and everything.
Yeah.
His seamanship.
I'm talking about working for a living. I'm talking about sharking.
Well, I'm not talking about hooking some poor dogfish or sand shark. I'm talking about finding a great white.
Porkers?
Talking about
porkers?
Mr. Hooper.
Just tie me a sheep shank.
I haven't had to pass basic seamanship in a long time. You didn't say how short you wanted it.
I'm talking about shocking. Yeah, what does he say? What kind of knot to do?
Tie sheep shank.
Tie me a sheep shank. He's just
it's
like,
been a while, but...
I haven't had to pass basic seamanship in a long time.
Give me your hand.
Yeah, then he looks at it and says, give me your hands.
Give me your hands. Dogfish. You got a $5,000 net. You got $2,000 worth of fishing. And along comes Mr. Whitey. By the time he's finished with that net, looks like a kiddie scissor class has cut it up for a paper doll. You got city hands, Mr. Hooper. You've been counting money all your life.
All right. Hey, I don't need this. I don't need this working class hero crap.
So he's basically telling Hooper that...
He's got women's hands.
He's manicured hands. He's never done hard work in his life. What are you counting your money all your life? I don't need this shit. I always imagine that Quint wanted to go alone originally. How would he have handled that? He'd be dead, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's dead anyway.
Well,
but
regardless, yeah.
They would have still had the problem of the shark. I love this line where Hooper's counting all of his... He's going through all of his inventory and what Quint says to him.
There's his helper, his man Friday again.
Sample bottles, dye markers, flares, safety float, temperature gauge, spear guns, SMG.
What are you, some kind of half-ass astronaut?
And he cracks himself up. In one of the deleted scenes, his manservant quits. It's hilarious. They didn't make it in the movie. I think because the guy wasn't an actor. He was terrible. He goes, I'm Quint, Mr. Quint. I'm not going out there to get eaten by a shark. And he goes, then get your ass out of here. So that's basically why he's not on the boat. Anti-shark cage. This is a great moment because he goes, you go in the cage.
They got here. Portable shark or a monkey cage?
Anti-shark cage.
Anti-shark cage. You go inside the cage. Cage goes in the water. You go in the water. Shark's in the water. Our shark.
And here we hear the first version of Spanish Ladies, which gets played several times in the movie. They sing it several times, and you hear it in the score, too.
Farewell and adieu to you, fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu, you ladies of Spain. For we've received orders for to sail back to Boston. And so nevermore shall we see you again.
But I love this whole scene when he's singing Spanish Ladies to Hooper. Hooper just has this grin on his face like, yep, uh-huh. I love it. I love it. It's cool.
Keep singing.
But when, what is the deal? I never really understand what Quinn is talking about when Brody's wife comes to basically say goodbye and he sees her, him in the back. She sees Quint in the background. And he sees her, he starts talking about...
Bring it up with you, Chief! Daylight's wasted! Front, bow, back, stern! Don't get it right, Squirt! I throw your ass out of the little round window on the side!
Come on, Chief, this isn't no Boy Scout picnic. See, so you got your rubbers.
Here lies the body of Mary Lee, died at the age of 103. For 15 years, she kept her virginity. Not a bad record for this vicinity.
All right, Commissioner, fasten your safety belt. If you see a shark, Hooper, swallow.
I guess I don't understand Quint because he's a drunk bastard, but he's salty. He's a tad salty, right? And this is kind of like, at this point in the movie, you're like, what the hell have they gotten themselves into with this guy? Because he's insane, right? He's nuts.
He's just being...
He's being obnoxious on purpose.
Right. Trying to show it's a man's world. They're fishing.
Yeah, you better run along, honey. He's being Quint. That's just Quint we know, you know? There's the orca. As a kid, I did love that boat. There's something I thought was so neat about the boat. It's just like... It's got all this cool stuff, like his harpoon and those barrels, and he's got that fishing chair, and later on, you know, you see the area where they go down and eat food and stuff. I just thought there was something so kind of... There is a romanticness to fishermen and stuff, I guess. I don't know if... I don't think I could really do it in reality, but...
Another product placement there for...
Old Spice! Yeah. When Brody is...
Chumming.
Keep that chum line going, Chief. We got 5 good miles on him.
Who's driving this boat?
Nobody. Tied. One time I caught a 16-footer off Montauk. Had to stick 2 barrels in him. 2 to wear him down and bring him up.
I love that Brody's duty is chumming the whole time. And later on, you know, there's this moment where he goes... Get Hooper to do it. He goes, Hooper drives the boat. You do the chumming. Oh, what kind of beers he got, Steven? I can't tell what that is.
Starts with an N.
First off, I was like, this can't be natural light, but the whole, I love it.
Crushes his styrofoam cup.
Yeah, it's genius when Quint crushes his beer can and then Hooper crushes the styrofoam cup. But we get our first moment of the oxygen tanks when Brody knocks him over and, you know...
Damn it, Martin! This is compressed air!
Well, what the hell kind of a knot was that?
You pulled the wrong one! You screw around with these tanks and they're gonna blow up!
Yeah, that's real fine expensive gear you brought out here, Mr. Hooper. But I don't know what that bastard shark's gonna do with it. Might eat it, I suppose. Seen one eat a rocking chair one time.
And it's like, they've just told us the end of the movie here, haven't they? Feeding the oxygen tank to the shark, maybe?
Gave Brody the idea.
But one of the best moments, another great moment in the movie is when Brody's trying to tie the knot, and it's a slowly building scene of the fishing line.
Yeah.
Slowly building. That's the genius of this movie. I know some people, you know, hear...
Not seeing the shark is mentally picturing the shark.
Yeah. The shark's out there, right?
Maybe he's eyeballing it.
Yeah, it's such a great building scene. And what I love is that the way it ties into Brody tying the knot, he keeps slipping the knot. It's not working. And he's trying it over and over again. And just the way this whole scene is set up. So many, you know, a lot of the scenes in the movie are set up like this where it's builds slow and it's building to something. And Brody's doing the knot while the...
He's slowly slipping into
the gear
to hold him in the chair.
Quint's buckling himself in. He's getting ready.
Nobody's paying attention.
He's fastening himself on. You almost think he's going to get pulled out of the boat into the water. That happens, he's screwed.
Here it goes.
But another thing you get from this scene is, you know, Quint is a professional. He knows what he's doing.
Hey! I got it! What? Get behind me.
Spindle's overheating, so you got to water down.
Yeah, just this whole... Moments in this movie are so fascinating. You know, a lot of times when you're watching it, I'm wondering what the hell they're doing. But the shark's got the line, he's pulling it, and then Hooper, Mr. Know-It-All, and he's like, it's not a shark.
Hey, Quint, let it go.
Hey, Hooper,
Maybe a big yahoo in the lab, but out here, just supercargo. If you don't want to backstroke home, you get down here.
All right, you don't want to listen to me, don't listen to me. It's not a shark.
And do you remember what Quint says?
Don't you tell me my business again. You get back on the bridge.
That doesn't prove a damn thing.
Well, it proves one thing, Mr. Hooper. Proves that you wealthy college boys don't have the education enough to admit when you're wrong.
What, one thing that you, after watching Jaws so many times also, is that the movie is totally shifted. You know, now it's them on the boat in the water, and all that Amityville, you know, Amityville, all the Amity Island stuff is gone. And yeah, the movie is now them getting the shark. It's like a completely different movie now. But it's all about butting heads between Hooper and Quint.
They're both so sure. Starfish. Swordfish.
What's so brilliant about the whole barrel thing in the movie is, you know, because the shark wasn't working, they had to find a way to do the shark. So it was the barrels that they connect to the shark, you know, which I'm assuming was in the book. That's how you kill a shark. You get barrels on it where it can't breathe underwater. It can't keep swimming deep, you know, and it gets dragged to the top. But they found a way to, you know, basically show what the barrels were doing. We knew that was a shark underwater, and they didn't need to show it every time. They didn't need a shot of
the shark.
Yeah, we didn't. They didn't have to do a scene of the shark swimming underwater every time, going, you know, like Tremors or something. You know, Hooper's so pissed off at Quint all the time. Hooper! Hooper!
Hooper! 12 minutes south-southeast now, full throttle!
Aye, aye, sir! Arr, Jim boy, arr!
Holy shit, people smoke a lot in this movie, don't they?
Yeah.
Between the mayor, Brody.
I think they make reference to it in one of the other Jaws movies, you know, the over-smoking. I think it was the 3D one.
Really? Now, let me ask you this. In the world of Jaws, does Jaws 2 still exist to you? Or do you just like
I can't even tell you too much about Jaws 2.
So definitely Jaws 3 doesn't exist in the...
I remember it because of the stupid theme park that they had.
Yeah. I like to think of it as when Jaws, the movie's over, that's it for Brody. There is no Jaws 2.
Right.
I mean, I've seen Jaws 2 a couple of times, and I know they electrocute the shark at the end. That's how they kill it.
That's right. Yeah, I was sitting there trying to remember how.
There's the scene with the helicopter that lands on the water, yeah, and the shark pulls it under.
And they use the crane from the boat to pull up the telephone wire or electrical line from the island.
Yeah, and the shark bites it, and it's like... But I like to think that, you know, here, you know, one of the best scenes in the movie is when, why don't you carry and chum the shit? Or when Brody's sick of chumming and he says his line and then the shark pops out of the water.
Slow ahead. I can go slow ahead. Come on down and chum some of this shit.
And it's the best moment ever because it shows pure terror on Brody's face. And then he backs in to where Quint
then,
is.
And then it's the line everyone knows. We're going to need a bigger boat.
Salsa shark. But then, like, the shark is way out there. And now he's swimming towards him.
He's coming right at him.
Yep.
That's a 20-footer.
25. 3 tons on him.
25. John Williams' score. It's so awesome. One of my favorite moments also is when...
all 3 tons of him.
When Hooper keeps telling Brody, go out! Go up further! Go up further! I need, you know, he wants to get a good measurement. He goes,
come on! One more! Move! Move! Move!
I'm not going out there!
Beyond the edge of the barrels! Go into the end of the barrels! Further out!
Why?
Go further out!
What for?
Can you go to the end of the pulpit, please?
What?
Can you please go to the end of the pulpit?
What for?
I need to have something in the foreground to give it some scale!
Foreground my ass!
He's not going out to the front of the boat. But this whole bit, you know, like the sharks there, they're getting the what do you, what is that, a harpoon gun? What is that?
Yeah.
The harpoon gun. As a kid, man, you think this stuff is badass, right? He's got this harpoon. It's pretty awesome. I love it. And then, you know, Brody's wife calls and he totally lies to
her. Your husband's all right, Mrs. Brody. He's fishing. He just got a couple of stripers. We'll bring him in for dinner. We won't be long. We haven't seen anything yet. Don't go out.
Another great
moment.
Yeah,
he was going back in.
He's going back in, but then Quint comes out with the harpoon. It's like, oh, shit.
And tying it onto the first barrel.
And then we have this moment where he's going to shoot the dart, the harpoon or whatever, to connect the barrel. And Hooper has his, what is it, a transmitter?
A tracking device, yeah.
To, and he's got to attach it in time. So you got this great tension and the music and everything. And he's like, Hoopla!
Don't wait for me.
I just love when he, how many times does Quint say it in the movie? Hoopla!
Hoopla!
That's such a great shot there where you see the shark in the distance coming.
Yeah.
Come on. Oh, man. The
Come
music
on,
is great.
Tie it on. Now.
Now. I love what Brody's like going, kill it!
Kill it, Quint! Kill it!
Like, he thinks that one shot's going to kill him. Kill it! And then Quint, I guess he's a little pissed here because he wanted to shoot him in the head, right? Or get him in the mouth area. He needed a clear shot to the head. But I love when, the scene where the shark swims and the barrel disappears. And there's this that shot of Quint standing on the pulpit thing. Just staring back at him, you know, he's kind of in silhouette. It's awesome. Really, I know this movie mini is basically us just gushing about how much we love the movie. But it's got a lot of great stuff in it. I mean, I know there's some people over the years, they hear about how great Jaws is and then they see it and they're like, well, I guess it's okay. It's not that great. It's because you've seen so many movies since that have copied a lot of things from Jaws, you know? It's not like this new thing. But trust me, it's a great freaking movie, you know? It's got real people, real characters, you know? They're Quint, this salty fisherman guy, and Hooper and Brody. You know them by the time they're on this boat. I mean, you don't need to know much about Quint to know he's just a crazy shark hunter guy, you know?
He's but just a you fisherman. Learn, he's going to get the job done.
And when this scene comes up, you learn more about him, and it's just awesome. One of the great scenes that we've seen since in other movies, the whole comparing scars thing.
Yeah. Want to see something permanent? Boom, boom, boom. Hey, who? You want to feel something permanent? You just put your hand underneath my cap. You just get a little lump. Knock on all on St. Paddy's Day, Boston.
I got that beat. I got that beat. Some moray eel. Fit right through my wetsuit.
Well, nope, no. Listen, I don't know about that, but I entered an arm wrestling contest in an Oki bar in San Francisco. You see this? No, I can't extend that. You know why? Got to the semifinal, celebrating my third wife's demise. Big Chinese fella, he pulled me right off. Look at that. It's a bull shark. It scraped me when I was taking samples. I got something for you. That's the thresher. You see that, Chief? Thresher's tail.
Thresher?
It's a shark. You want to drink? Drink to your leg?
I'll drink to your leg.
Okay, so we drink to our legs.
Chasing Amy comes to mind, but yeah. That was a deliberately influence.
Deliberate still.
Do fishermen go out and fish, but they also get drunk? They stay inebriated the whole time?
Well, I guess you could, but nowadays with drinking laws and everything, yeah. It's... Back they, then, I guess you could get away with it, because it's...
Quint, you know, probably had a tolerance, though.
You kind of remember your father or somebody drinking and driving when you were younger.
Right. And if you notice in the one scene where Brody looks down and what does he have? Some kind of surgery scar, maybe a hernia scar or something? What is that?
I thought maybe he'd gotten bitten by something.
Who, Brody?
Yeah.
I figured it was just a lame, like, appendix scar or something, and he's embarrassed to say anything.
I think he got attacked by a shark when he was younger. The drowning was his excuse.
Oh, you think so? I always thought it just he was inadequate there.
No, I think he just wasn't going to get into the, you know, the fight with them. See who's got the better. It's like, it just is terrifying for him to think about.
Right. No, just look at the scene. I think he's more like he doesn't have much of a scar to show. I think that's what it is. He feels inadequate here. It's probably like...
I kind of thought the opposite was like he got bit by something.
So you look right there like, okay, I'm not going to bring attention to it. That's what I kind of get to it. Like he had his appendix out or he had a hernia when he was a kid or something.
Well, you're wearing a sweater.
I got the creme de la creme right here. Hold on. Hey, see that?
You're wearing a sweater.
Right there. Mary Ellen Moffat. She broke my heart.
Mary Ellen Moffat. But then we get to the whole Indianapolis speech. Don't tell me, mother. I love how they're all laughing and stuff, but then it completely changes.
And like everybody's heard this story,
mm-hmm.
except maybe Brody, I guess.
Well, you know, they said at the time when this movie was made, it just came out what happened with that boat. It was like that year. People didn't know because it was top secret. And even a woman talked to one of them, Spielberg or... somebody and said that thank you for that because my son died on the Indianapolis. I never knew how he died because it was top secret.
What's that one?
What?
That one there on your arm.
Oh, it's a tattoo. I got that removed.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Mother.
What is that? Mr. Hooper, that's the USS Indianapolis.
You were on the Indianapolis?
What happened? Japanese submarine slammed two torpedoes into our side chief. He was coming back from the island of Tinian Delady, just delivered the bomb, the Hiroshima bomb. 1,100 men went into the water. Vessel went down in 12 minutes. Didn't see the first shark for about half an hour. Tiger, 13-footer. You know that when you're in the water, Chief? You tell by looking from the dorsal to the tail. What we didn't know was our bomb mission had been so secret. No distress signal had been sent. They didn't even list as overdue for a week. Very first light, Chief. Sharks come cruising. So we formed ourselves into tight groups. You know, it's kind of like old squares in a battle, like you see in a calendar, like the Battle of Waterloo. And the idea was, shark comes the nearest man, that man, he start pounding and hollering and screaming. Sometimes the shark go away. Sometimes he wouldn't go away. Sometimes that shark, he looks right into you, right into your eyes. You know the thing about a shark, he's got lifeless eyes, black eyes, like a doll's eye. When he comes at you, he doesn't seem to be living until he bites you, and those black eyes roll over white, and then you hear that terrible high-pitched screaming. The ocean turns red, in spite of all the pounding and the hollering, they all come in, they rip you to pieces. You know, by the end of that first dawn, lost 100 men. I don't know how many sharks, Maybe 1,000. I don't know how many men they average 6 an hour. On Thursday morning, Chief, I bumped into a friend of mine, Herbie Robinson from Cleveland. Baseball player. Bosun's mate. I thought he was asleep. Reached over to wake him up. Bobbed up and down in the water. It was like a kind of top. Upended. Well, he'd been bitten in half below the waist. Noon the fifth day, Mr. Hooper, Lockheed Ventura saw us. He swung in low and he saw us too. A young pilot, a lot younger than Mr. Hooper anyway, he saw us and he come in low. And 3 hours later, a big fat PBY comes down and started to pick us up. You know, that was the time I was most frightened, waiting for my turn. I'll never put on a life jacket again. So 1,100 men went in the war. 316 men come out. The Sharks took the rest June the 29th, 1945. Anyway, we delivered the bomb.
Well, what's brilliant about this scene is it tells you why Quint really doesn't like sharks. Right?
Terrible. The story was creepier probably than the movie.
Right, yeah. Has there been a movie about the Indianapolis? Because I will never watch it. Because I guarantee you the movie couldn't do what Robert Shaw does in the scene justice.
So they spent more than a day in the water.
Yeah.
5 days in the water.
That's a great scene. That's kind of like in the theater. You stand up.
Yeah, that's the Oscar-winning...
Yeah, that's you got. There's not many movies where there's a scene where the whole audience just dead quiet like that. And then we have the Spanish ladies again.
Well, and I do to you, fair Spanish ladies. Well, and I do to you, ladies of Spain.
What's funny is I always think of the scene. Remember, they start singing this, and then they go into...
Show me the way to go home. I'm tired and I want to go to bed. I had a little drink about an hour ago, and it's got right to my head. Wherever by land or sea or foam, you will always hear me sing the song. Show me the way to go home. Show me the way to go home. I'm tired and I want to go to bed. I had a little drink about an hour ago and it got right to my head.
But then the shark starts banging on the boat. I always think of it as the shark going, "Shut up!" I always think of it like that.
This is terrible.
You drunk asshole, shut up. I'm trying to sleep. Love it. Did you ever always wonder, is that algae, the glowing stuff in the water?
Yeah. Or the reflection from the...
No, look at it. It's like all the foam around it. Put out the fire, Chief. I love it. What does Quint do? He goes out and starts firing his rifle into the water.
Quint, what are you doing? Don't waste your time, Quint. Come on.
What's wrong with this? Right. Come in. Take the wheel. Ready, fun and death. Watch for it.
He's banging on his boat. Go take some shots at him. I love where it says, he ate the lights. I believe one of the trademark scenes is coming up soon. It's one of Spielberg's things. Do you know what it is? One of Spielberg's trademarks? Do you know what it is, Steven?
I have to watch.
Keep watching. It's a Spielberg trademark. And I have no idea if he still does it. You watch closely. It's coming up. But I love after Quint is shooting, Brody goes and gets his gun.
The
shooting star. And there's actually two shooting stars.
You'll see it again.
See, this day and age of J.J. Abrams, someone would tie that in like, that thing, it's like meteorites. It's causing great whites to go nuts. That's where they're attacking people. Oh! When they totally read that into there, it's like Cloverfield. Yeah, a satellite unearths an ancient shark in the water. It's beneath the Earth's crust or something. It totally reminds me of the Millennium Falcon. Han down in the belly of the ship, and you just see his hand kind of reaching for tools. Oh, shark's back. So when you're watching Jaws, do you just think that you want to see the shark? Where's the shark? You want to see it. But you're also totally into what they're doing?
Yeah, I don't know that I cared, but I did want to see the shark, obviously, but...
Yeah.
Once you've seen the movie and the characters come to life so well and play off each other...
Oh, don't you love the scene? What the hell is going on when Brody goes to call for help?
Hello. Hello. Hello, Mayday, Orca. Coast Guard? Coast Guard, this is the Orca. Do you read me? Coast Guard, this is the Orca. Do you...
Excuse me, Chief.
That's great! That's just great! Now where the hell are we, huh? You're certifiable, Quint, you know that?
Yeah.
You're certifiable!
Yeah.
Certifiable, but I'll tell you this!
Boys. Oh, boys. I think he's come back for his noon feeding.
Oh, boys. What would this movie be without this score? It'd just be just guys running around on a boat, but man, it's done so well. I love this kind of hip shot that Quint does. Light.
The chase music.
I love it. Now they're chasing the shark. I mean, really, Quint is his own worst enemy because he's so into the chase that he doesn't care about that they're over-revving the boat that's got water in the engine. But it's kind of like the same. I do this with all great movies where I second-guess everything. If they'd only done this, if they just did this... But really, there's no way to save Quint, was there?
Well, he's like you said, he's a lot like Han Solo. His boat is the best to him.
Yeah, she can handle it. Come on, keep pushing. Yeah. You know, she'll be fine. Just let her stick her head out of the water again.
So Hooper is chewy.
So really, in this scene here, what's great, they're chasing a shark, but in reality, they're chasing a barrel that's getting dragged by a boat or something, you know? But it works. That's what I love about this movie, you know? You totally buy into all of it. Great shot there.
Brody's going to
take some shots at it. I remember as a kid just being like in awe, like bullets don't even kill it. It just keeps swimming.
It's like it's going to take way more than a 38 caliber.
Oh, do you remember in Jaws 2, he actually pumps poison into his bullets in that scene, like melting wax on them? Do you remember that?
Drilling them out. And
yeah. Had two barrels in him. There's no way he can dive with that.
The thing's smoking like a beast there, the boat.
I never understood why they do this. Why do they pull the barrels in? They're just going to try to bring the shark close to the surface and then drag him?
Yeah, they figure they'll tire him out by dragging him with the boat.
But the shark is way too strong.
Or that boat is way too beat.
Yeah. Why don't they have one of the... Have you ever seen those portable kind of propellers?
Poor Hooper here.
Oh, I know. What's a rope? I love this scene.
Brody! Finger right around the cleat. That's right, it'll lock itself off. Give him room, Brody! Clear him! Oh, clear the line!
Brody!
Get him on the other side.
Oh! Clear the line! That's another one of those parts in the movie where everyone's like, ah!
He's gonna
chop
pinch him
in
half. Yeah.
He's just a torso.
torso boy.
I love this part where the boat starts getting dragged. It's like, oh shit, the shark's gonna pull the whole boat underwater. Oxygen tank. Oh, maybe they'll show up later in the movie. Nah, they'll never show those oxygen tanks again, right? Never happen.
No, stow them. They'll...
Quint's already ready to stuff the shark and hang him on the wall. I love the far shot of the shark chewing the lines. That's great.
He's chewing his way back.
Because when you watch the movie, it doesn't... The shark, there's no way that's real, but it looks awesome, doesn't it? It looks real. You believe it because of the movie.
Right.
Oh, shit. He's going to pull the boat. Really? You know, I've read, you know, some people described it in the documentaries, but really this could be a movie without dialogue. It could just all be, you could watch it with no sound and understand everything that's going on, you know? It's so visual. I know that sounds stupid. A movie is visual, Jason? No, but I mean... Like, you don't need words to convey what's going on at all. And I always love right when he's about to cut the line with the machete and it's gone. There's no way he can take three barrels down, right?
Can't stay down with three barrels on him. Not with three barrels, he can.
What about us?
Start pumping the boat out again.
I love when they tell Brody to start pumping with that little hand pump thing. And then when... When he notices that Quint and Hooper are up higher, he's like, screw this! And he throws it down. There's no way he can dive with three barrels, Steven. No way.
Yeah, couldn't pull that boat backwards either. Maybe that's the possessed shark that took over the Amityville house.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm telling you, those shooting stars has something to do with that. Yeah. It makes sharks crazy. They don't like shooting stars. Yeah, I love it that basically, you know, Hooper's like, have you ever seen a shark do this before? And he's like,
you ever have one do this before?
I don't know.
Do you think at this point is Quint scared?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, holy shit. Because really, they're sitting ducks now. They're screwed. Well, not quite yet. The engine hasn't broken down yet, but...
Yeah, haven't ruined the engine just yet.
Yeah. Then he just decides, like here, you see land in the shot.
Right.
That's Amity, right? They're going to head home. He's going to try to bring them out to shallow waters and, yeah, draw them in and drown. That'll work. If he just would have taken the boat a little bit slower, right? Like even Brody's asking, have you ever seen a shark do this before? Nope. You know, one time, you know, my Toyota Supra, the engine locked because it had an engine leak and it sounded just like this engine of the Orca. And I was like, I got to pull over. I'm on the freeway. I got to pull over. And right when I was going to, okay, I'm going to pull over, it seized. Viscosity and thermal breakdown. Remember that commercial?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was.
Gonna draw him into the shadows. In the shallow water, gonna throw him in and drown him. We're heading in, Brody.
Thank Christ.
Have you ever had a great white dude?
No.
How far do we have to go?
Wait, don't put that much pressure on him.
Stop it!
I love Quint. He's like, come on, a little bit more.
A little more.
That black smoke, that's not bad, is it? And you realize just how much they're sinking, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah, because the engine has the sump pump on it that sucks out water that would come in.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got no engine.
Now they're sitting ducks.
Do you think he realizes now they're in trouble?
Yeah. And I love it, the scene where Quint, he stares at the life jackets. He said he'd never put another one on. But, you know, do you think the same thing I do when he hands out life jackets? How long could you float in the water if the boat sank before being eaten alive? You wouldn't want to float, would you? You'd be dead in minutes. I just think I'd rather go down with the ship and drown.
The shark can eat you after you drown.
Yeah. I can eat my dead body.
Oh, now Quint's interested in what Hooper can do with his scientific instruments.
Hooper, what exactly can you do with these things of yours?
Well, I think I can pump 20 cc's of strychnine nitrate into them if I can get close enough.
You get this little needle through his skin?
No, I can't do that. But if I can get him close enough to this cage, I think I could get him in the mouth or
that shark with that cage.
You got any better suggestions?
Don't you love that? So, Hooper, what do you got over there? I could pump him full of this. Now, I've seen the movie enough times where I start to doubt this. Why couldn't they hook that dart up to the harpoon? Or I don't know if it's possible, but that's what I would think. Rig it on the harpoon and go, phew, you know, or something like that. But Spielberg didn't have me there on the set, so I couldn't suggest it. It wouldn't have been as exciting, would it? Shark dart. Shark dart, shark dart. And here's, you know, another moment of adventurous music. Again with the oxygen tanks. Okay, we get it, Spielberg.
Foreshadowing.
Lots of foreshadowing there. So I always think about this. I've seen the movie so many times when they're setting up the cage and everything. The shark has taken a breather like, I messed with him enough. I'm going to go away for a while. And then when he comes back, he's like, oh, wait, what about those guys? I'm going to go check on them. And then he's like, whoa, they got a cage under the water. Hey, these guys want a party.
He's so scared he's got no spit.
I got no spit.
I think that here Quint respects Hooper finally. Like, this is some brave-ass stupid shit he's about to do. I don't think Quint would ever get in that cage, do you?
No.
There's a couple of times in the movie where the editing, or just the shots here don't make any sense to me. And I know why they don't, because this was filmed separately with a real shark when it gets tangled in the cage, you know? But when it cuts to above water, Quint and Brody don't see anything. But in the shots of the shark kind of rolling around in the cage, you know they'd be able to see that. So, but I mean, I'm not nitpicking. I'm just seeing the movie so many times, I noticed stuff like that, you know. But this whole scene when Hooper goes under the water.
It's coming right at me.
Yeah, this shit is scary. This whole underwater sequence. Like, okay, the barrels are coming back.
And at breakneck speed, too.
Yeah, and I love when he swims by the cage. It's like, holy shit. But I love, like, this is the plan. The shark needs to get close enough where he stabs it in the mouth, right? That's what he says. If he could get it in the mouth with that little pointer. So anyway, the shark swims by, and he's like, all right, I'm taking a look-see, and I'm going to go away. And then he sneaks up behind him. Sneaky bastard. He needed to tape it to his hand, didn't he? And here we get some more of fantastic Richard Dreyfuss. And he's already lost his dart thing. He loses it instantly.
And his cage is already bent.
Poor
one hit.
Hoopa!
Hoopa!
Yeah, that cage is not going to hold, stand the test of time. But I love when he's looking for the dart, and then he turns and looks, and he does the... I'm like, holy shit!
Yeah, I think he's the original shark bait, not Nemo.
Yeah, shark bait.
Look at the size of that thing.
I know. Tell me there wouldn't be a brown cloud right next to him or just shits his pants.
Big yellow stain floating up from peeing yourself.
I still don't know how Hooper's not eating here. He's just lucky the shark gets tangled up in the cage.
I kept wondering, who is it, the shark bleeding, getting... You see blood, it looks like.
Yeah, he's getting some good stabs in, but... The shark can...
And that's what you're saying right there.
Yeah, like, they would totally see that, but more of that. But you see up here on the surface that they don't see what's going on. They just know some ruckus is going on. It's giving way!
It's giving way!
Yeah, I'd want off that boat fast.
Yeah. I always love scenes like this in a movie where... We know that Hooper swam to the bottom and he's hiding, but they think he's dead. And for some reason, I always love scenes like that in movies where the people think a character's dead, but he's not really. I don't know why. Like, bummer. Hooper's a good dude. What I love here, basically, you know, I know the movie's got to end eventually, but the way everything escalates, okay, the shark is now attacked again, and he's torn up that cage. But now he comes back with a vengeance, because you know what's about to happen, right? Like, the shark's like, okay, enough of this shit. I'm going to take these bastards out. And he
played with you guys long enough.
Yeah, I messed around with you guys enough, but now I'm pissed. And he does the whole, holy shit, jumps on the back of the boat. This scene, oh my god, you're always, every time I watch it, I want Quint to hold on better, like, just when he puts his hand up there and then the tank rolls on his fingers, and then he slides down, and you're like, oh shit, and he slides down the mouth, and he's kicking, and he just can't stay away from the mouth.
There he goes.
And then he bites down on him and he screams, but then he does that final crunch where, you know, he's basically broken him. Holy shit. When you're a kid and you see the scene, it's like, holy shit!
I think him spitting the blood out, you know, it's like...
Yeah. And he's dead. His fight has gone out of him. But then we have this scene. So basically the oxygen tank didn't want to work for Quint. But... Maybe it'll work for Brody.
And in through the window.
It's just insanity. That, probably more than any other, it looks like the shark is on a track, doesn't it? Yeah. Like, coming in on a track. But it's still a holy shit moment. Here, I remember that picture in that book of him eating the tank. Maybe I'll try this.
Now, you see the tank goes in with the
Okay, we can't nitpick, Steven.
It's the editing.
This movie's a classic. No, what he's doing right now, the shark's rolling around on his tongue, like going, oh.
What is this?
He's
leg?
Playing.
No. Too metallic.
Yeah, it's too metally. But I love it, the pace the boat is sinking. Like, Brody's about to totally be chum here.
I gotta get as high as I can get.
This whole end sequence is just, I love it. Did you, I mean, when you're a kid or even an adult, when I watch it now, I don't think this is ridiculous. I think it's awesome.
You get that nervousness right here because the boat, he gets laying even with the water.
Yeah, it's sinking more and more. Holy shit! The shark has been stabbed a lot today, hasn't it?
He's been shot.
But the editing here is kind of funky. It was in his head, but now it's in his mouth, the spear. But no, it's not. I just didn't see it.
You missed the stab.
Yeah, yeah. Everything's fine. Come on,
and
show me the
going
tank.
Down.
Like, he's screwed. Come on, Brody. This whole scene, you have the shark swimming at him. It's going to take Brody out. He's got to shoot it. Shoot the tank. Come on. Show me the tank.
All right, come on. Show me the tank. Show me the tank.
Blow up.
Son of a...
And I love Brody's laugh here, don't you? His celebration.
It worked. The size of that explosion.
I love it. All the blood and carnage. Then it hits the bottom, doesn't it? I totally would have sent somebody up there to drag it to the beach, wouldn't you? I'd want it stuffed. Whatever's left.
Whatever's left. Bubbles.
And I always love his reveal of Hooper when he looks over. And he's like, hey, he's alive. Hey, what's up? Do you think Hooper was down at the bottom just staring up at all the shit that was going on?
Yes.
Like, holy shit.
He's like, how do I not get eaten?
Yeah, there's no way he could go up and save anybody. He couldn't reveal himself. He'd just be eaten. But I love this, the music and everything. There's no threat anymore. Everything's fine. Everything's happy. Quint. I love when he's looking for Quint, and he's like, Quint. And he's like...
Quint. No.
I saw him get swallowed whole by a shark. He's got that story for the rest of his life, doesn't he? I saw a man swallowed whole.
And then whatever was left got blown to bits by yeah. Your tank.
I always love that, the swimming in on the barrels.
Wasn't this another scene you said you didn't realize when they do the big pullback? How long they were swimming?
Yeah, they're talking about like what day it is, and he's like, keep kicking.
Hey, what day is this? It's Wednesday. It's Tuesday, I think. I think the tide's with us. Keep kicking. I used to hate the water. I can't imagine why.
And then the end credits roll, and I love it. It's this pleasant music, but if you look in the background, you see them actually swimming to the shore in the background during the whole credit sequence. Like, you see them, there they are, and as the credits are rolling, they're swimming up And then at the very end, you see him actually get to the beach and start walking. I think I would just lay down on the sand for a while.
I think I would have, too. Just got up and been so exhausted from everything that you've just done and seen.
Yeah, like, who do you talk to first? They're like, we killed it, and we don't have to pay the $10,000, by the way. they would have to pay it to the next of kin, wouldn't they? That's not right. Quint helped a lot.
Unless Quint didn't have any kin.
Yep. They're not paying him shit. Didn't you... These old school credit sequences, the credits were so short, you know?
Still swimming.
I love Jaws. Still a great movie. So what do you think, Steven? Any closing thoughts on Jaws?
I still love it. It's one of my... Like I said, it's been one of my favorites for many years.
Is still fascinated with sharks to this day. Do you ever? Do you always watch those Discovery?
Yeah, I do watch the Shark Week. When they go out and do the tagging of the sharks, or watching them breach, chasing what the seals' silhouettes.
Right. There's that part in the movie where they're talking to the mayor, and he goes. Brody said, this happened before, New Jersey, in 1912 or something like that.
And there's no limit to what he's going to do. I mean, we've already had 3 incidents. 2 people killed inside of a week, and it's going to happen again. It happened before. The Jersey Beach, 1916, there were 5 people chewed up in the surf.
In 1 week.
And where a shark swam up the shallow waters. Yes, yeah,
the river.
The river. And that actually...
It killed children.
Yeah, like 5 people. And that's what gave Peter Benchley the idea of the book. The novel, and I watched the Discovery Channel thing about that.
Uh-huh. I've seen it, too.
And it is pretty freaky how it swam up the upriver, and, you know, people go swimming and stuff, and it was eating people left and right.
Or, just because you normally think of a shark as saltwater creature.
Right, and it's just crazy. And I don't think anything like that's happened again, but it's crazy.
But it's always possible.
Yeah, maybe that is that what it is about Jaws? I mean, yeah, it's a great movie and it's got great acting, but the fascination with just the unknown of sharks and this prehistoric beast that's been around for ages, you know? All they do, as Hooper said, is eat and swim. And make little sharks.
But a great movie, great characters.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And what can you say about him, you know?
Yeah. And not many years later, Robert Shaw died. This is one of those roles, you know, I guess I would think if I was an actor, I'd want to have at least one role that was like immortalized you, you know, where people watched it for years and years. A classic. And this is definitely one of those movies. Hell, we don't even have Roy Scheider anymore.
No. Nope.
You know, he passed away. All we have left is Richard Dreyfuss, I think, you know. A lot of the actors have passed on, but Jaws, it's one of those iconic movies, great scenes, and score, you know, the music, of course, immortalized. Everyone knows the theme, and just...
Yeah, it's as iconic as the...
Star Wars.
Jason, Star Wars.
Oh, you mean the ch-ch-ch?
Yeah.
Do you think Jaws influenced that, probably?
Or even Halloween.
Give them a theme. Yeah, you knew the... The killer, the thing that you fear needs a theme to know when it's around. I think, Jason more than anything, that whenever you heard that sound, you knew he was around. Just like Jaws, the boom, 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 boom. Now, movies that this influenced, immediately think of the Baby Ruth and Caddyshack. Duty!
Yeah, that's a classic one, too. Yeah,
isn't that funny? Like, when a movie, a big hit, it immediately appears in a lot of movies, you know? I couldn't even tell you how many movies the Jaws theme has probably been in since this, but I bet you it's a lot.
Oh, yeah. Can't even think of how many.
Now, I just want to ask one thing. What was my dad thinking taking me to see this movie? I'm a little kid. I'm traumatized. But, you know, in his defense... I guess I still love the movie. You know?
I mean, I wasn't much older than you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I mean,
I guess
my
3 years.
My daughter's 8. I don't think I would want to show her this movie.
And I saw it at her age, about 8. 8 or 9.
You know, she might be tough enough to see it. She's watched the Shark Week stuff, you know.
See, I was 8 or 9, I guess, when I saw it. Yeah, that's... I remember Dad taking us to over off of Camp Bowie, over by where the old sound warehouse and stuff used to be.
Did he take you to the Bowie Theater?
Yeah.
I remember that. My mom would drop us off there, and we'd like watch the same movie over and over again.
Yeah, and I think a friend of mine, his mom would take us and just drop us off. And she would take us to R-rated movies, too, when we were too young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw Friday the 13th when I was way too young, also.
So I got to see all of them because she was our parental guidance.
Right. Well, guys, that's our show. That's our Jaws NIMH Movie Mini. We hope that you enjoyed it much as we did. It's a movie that's close to our hearts, and we hope it is to yours, too. And hell, maybe you haven't seen it that much. Maybe it'll give you incentive to watch it again or watch it with us and see what you think. But as always, thank you for supporting Nowhere Mulberry. We love talking about movies. And after you listen to this, be sure and listen to our next one that comes out, whatever that may be. I don't know what order you're going to listen to them, but Steven, did you have a fun time?
Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed this.
Good stuff. So hopefully we'll do more in the future, and we'll have a good time. So everyone, I bid you adieu, Spanish ladies and gentlemen. I ain't got nothing. What about you, Steven? Can you sing any bars of that song? I bid you adieu, my fair Spanish. What is it?
I bid you adieu. I can't even remember now because I'm sitting there watching.
What about?
Show me the way to go home. I'm tired and
I want to go to bed.
I had a little drink about an hour ago, and it's gone straight to my head.
Gold. All right, everyone. See you next time. Later, Steven.
Goodbye. Thanks for listening.
Some bad hat, Harry.
Now this is podcasting.